You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ed Alexander, good morning.
Good morning, Christy Simone.
Just to review, of course, I lost my bet with Ed on the football game last night. I gave him 21 points.
21 points, I took it.
LSU only won by 17.
They almost won by 21.
Good morning to young Zach Zenser from Tipping Point right after me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I was going to express my condolences to you.
That's his problem.
You know,
21 points.
Yeah. So at first I was giving Chris crap on Facebook because the game was a whole lot closer. And then it got to the end. I'm like, dang it. They might actually win by 21 points. And I was going to text you, but I knew you were asleep because it was 10:30.
Absolutely.
And I said, there is no harder way to lose that bet than for them to get down to the 3-yard line, have no doubt a chance to punch it in, and they kneel it. I'm like, they just stole Chris's lunch.
They did.
Stole your lunch.
They did.
They just stole your lunch.
You know, when I saw the people giving me crap on Facebook or other places about giving Ed 21 points, I said, look, if I lose, I need to take Ed out for lunch more often anyway. So it's a bonus. What do you need?
You stood behind your principles. You were an LSU fan, and so is Mrs. Oh. And we're all good.
So we'll take Ed out for lunch. It really matters what he'll be in the mood for that day. That's how we'll play it, Ed. We're going to set a time. You tell me what you're in the mood for when I see you that morning, and then we just go do it.
Okay.
Because we'll find a place.
I know we will.
Zach, of course, Tipping Point after me, but also a proud West Side resident.
I am.
And we have been a little fun when we were talking about breakfast burritos on Facebook, one of the more important, really more important than most of the stuff we talk about on Facebook. We were talking about Tanya's, right? We were talking about Barista del Barrio. And what was the third place we were talking about breakfast?
Seis.
That's right.
Seis.
In the Mercado San Agustin. Which I like better. I don't like when people say MSA. That sounds like some sort of...
That's dumb, yeah.
Sounds like I got MRSA.
Like Metropolitan Statistical Area.
Lazy. That's right. The other MSA.
The other MSA.
So I did go to Barista del Barrio. And you know what I find that's so amazing is that there's a couple of buildings there on Grande that are like have nothing in them that are commercial buildings that are so ripe for someone to go in there and go do a project, a restaurant or otherwise in there. What's going on with that Grande corridor? That's your hood.
It is. Well, it's my hood up until St. Mary's.
Right, but still, it's your spiritual hood.
It's my... You're so spiritual, Chris.
I'm very spiritual. I'm going to do my Tim Cook prayer hands before it's all over. Hey.
Oh, man, I don't know. That that community has, as you know, a really interesting history with development, community development, and redevelopment. And so I don't know.
So we are seeing some good stuff in relation to people buying houses in the neighborhoods and doing some good work with them, right?
I would say so. I think we need to be doing more to support those smaller scale developers, and renovators. Cause there's a difference, I think, between flipping and renovating.
Right.
There's a lot of speculation that happens in those downtown U of A neighborhoods.
Right.
And it's kind of sketchy, and I think we need to call it out for what it is. But I also know a lot of local guys who are doing a really good job taking older properties, renovating them appropriately and selling them. And I think there's no problem with that. There's a balance, but here's what excites me, right? So we had Dr. Trujillo at our last neighborhood meeting on Thursday.
Nice. Hashtag
pray for Gabe. and a couple of months ago, this is a super quick story, Chris.
Sure.
A couple of months ago was the 100-year anniversary of the school.
Okay.
And so we had this big reunion. The school was shut down in 2011. It is iconic in the neighborhood. I mean, it's where so many neighbors went to school. We've been trying as a neighborhood to figure out how can we reopen it as a school. It closed right when Wakefield did. When school closures happened is when our school closed.
Right.
Well, Dr. Trujillo comes in and says, we have seen so many more families moving to the area, so many more young kids. We've seen Monzo... have such an expansion because of their ecological program. We may need to actually reopen Menlo Park School. And I think it's a beautiful example of what it looks like to hopefully appropriately rejuvenate an area. And I hear neighbors all the time say, we want kids in our neighborhood. We want our school reopened again. We want to see a fresh generation in here. And you don't get that by being absolutely no growth. And so it's fun to live on the ground and see this in live action and to see it produce results that people want.
I'd love to see the stats of, you know, we talk about the great escape from California, right? What is the classic demographic of the California escapee coming to Tucson? Because I'm thinking they got to be 55 plus or 55-ish on the escape age, you know, because they're more on a fixed income. California doesn't get cheaper to live in. You know, I'm figuring that's got to be, I mean, I see it up in Oral Valley.
Right.
I mean, I got three houses in my neighborhood that were all bought by Californians.
Mm-hmm.
55 and plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be happening in the right. area that's even considered more friendly towards someone maybe coming from a blue state, which would be that area around the U of A and downtown.
True.
Or Grijalva Gulch, as we like to call it on the show.
Do you want me to segue to workforce development?
This is exactly where we want to go.
So it's this, is that Tucson is experiencing a baby bust. And the fact is that we are not making new humans as fast as older humans are retiring or passing on. Did I say that diplomatically enough? In other words,
that's pretty good.
In other words, we've known for a while that Caucasian females were just not having as many kids. But we also knew for a while that women of color were having still the same rate of children they always were. That's not happening anymore. Women of all backgrounds, ethnicities, cultures are just having less humans.
Right.
And I'm being a little funny and tongue-in-cheek. Don't take anyone saying that I'm saying this with super sincerity, but I am, because it's true. The data is there. And so it's good that we are this community where people who have had a career or life somewhere else want to come from. And we always want to welcome that.
Except California.
But we...
That's just my take.
But we also need to make sure on a workforce development side that we are getting that talent, that we're developing them internally, that we're keeping them here. But we also depend right now on a ton of domestic migration. We need people from other states, which is why Governor Ducey yesterday and today will say, we've got people moving here. Because really, that's all we got in Arizona. Because
right.
we're getting to a point where we're going to see more and more older generations pass on or retire, and we're not seeing a new group of humans come into the picture.
Right.
And so all the states and communities are in this workforce and talent strategy game, because there's a limited supply to choose from, and we got to figure out how we keep more of them here.
So it's the idea of keeping more people, kind of a younger workforce here, and attracting a younger workforce here from other states? Is that part of the game?
I think it's keeping and attracting, yep. And a huge piece of workforce development is how you do that.
So give me your before we go to break, tell me what's your definition of work, as you understand it, in this town, workforce development? When I keep hearing it from various folks, what are we saying?
Yep. So workforce development is about how do we successfully retain and attract the workforce we need for the businesses that we have in a way that benefits the individual, the community, and the business.
Right. I'm putting the words together. Retain and attract.
Right.
Okay. And then what about, how does this play in relation to current workforce that's here? Workforce development. If you're someone who's grown up in Tucson, gone to high school, that kind of thing, how does workforce development affect you? How do they play into that workforce
right.
development thing?
Right.
How would you say that?
Right. So I'll give two quick examples. One example is, let's say you are a young truck driver. You're here in Tucson.
Yep.
The collaboration that Pima Community College and Too Simple are doing is a great example of workforce development.
Correct.
In other words, Pima is saying, look, Too Simple, what do you need? Well, we need truck drivers with this certain skill. So yep. Pima Community College says, okay, we will only take current truck drivers, right? So we're not replacing that market. We're saying they got to have a truck driver's license. We'll train them how to run our trucks. So you have a academic institution specifically partnering with a business and saying, how do we develop the workforce that you need? The other component of that is, I think a lot of especially larger employers in town, their hiring systems are skewed towards domestic or international migration. In other words, a lot of the skill sets that our people here in Tucson have developed are not the skill sets that the call for applications that a lot of our companies are asking for meet. And
right.
so you're seeing a lot of talented people here get passed over for out-of-state or international employees. And so one of the things we want to do across the city is say, look, we've got great elder graduates. We've got great people with talent here. How do we do a better job of connecting them to businesses and to companies so that they can stay and the company and the company can thrive. And then internal to organizations, they're having this conversation of how do we make sure our current workforce is educated for whatever the next step in our business is. So there's a lot of different levels of this, and there's a lot of ways that talent is not being connected to businesses. Some of it on purpose, and some of it just a matter of ignorance, and it's naive. And so how we just connect the two.
All right, Zach Yenser, Tipping Point, coming up after me. And then, of course, he'll be here and then there, which is like some sort of time warp, like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen.
I need more coffee.
And then, of course, we have Hugh Hewitt after Zachary, and then Bill Buckmaster, Dave Ramsey, followed by Laz Lawson, and then Stevie Rivera at the 6 o'clock hour. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Just join us, 790-2040. Good morning, Zach. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
We're going to be doing this more often, the third hour crossover episode, so cool. On various topics. So I was telling you off air why I scoff when I hear some of these folks say the word workforce development. I remember the first people that really started bringing it up was Trio, right? When they were getting flack, when the mayor Rothschild asked him for a spreadsheet of their activities, and Snell didn't have anything, he was looking at his where is that, mayor? Hey, can we come back with that? And then what happened was they came back with, oh, we're not going to take your money anymore from the city, so we don't need to give you the dreaded spreadsheet. So then what happened was they said, oh, we don't have the talent. We got to develop workforce development. This was the word. And it made it to me, it was part of Trio's excuse. I know. Well, I have refused to call them Sun Corridor because it's still the same pig with different lipstick. Okay. Is the idea that it was like an excuse. Oh, we don't have the workforce. So sometimes what we do can't be as successful because we just don't have the workforce. So that's where I first it started getting on my radar. And this is several years ago. Okay.
Probably my guess would be 10, 11.
Probably.
Okay, I'll tell you why that's my guess. But
okay, and then what happens is these various other economic development chamberish kind of organizations started using the word workforce development. And I found it to be an incomplete kind of use of the word because most of them don't really care about, they haven't advocated or done anything that I've seen other than Robert Medler running for TUSD school board 8 years ago, that anyone gave a crap about what's really going on through K through 12. It's obvious that Sunnyside, AmFi, and TUSD right through the heart of our community have serious problems cranking out kids with basic skills, right? I have kids graduating from high school who barely can do basic multiplication and division. So that's my take, is like all these organizations that keep saying work. I want to go holistic. To me, if you're going to do workforce development, can we be holistic from K through 12 through some of these successful partnerships? Like, you know, like to me, Pima Community is one of the places that should be the hotspot for such things, and then beyond. Response, Zach Yenser.
Yeah. So two responses. The reason why I guessed that you were hearing the word workforce development 10 or 11 years ago is it became a really hot topic in communities that were hit by the financial crisis.
Right.
And so that's when communities that weren't going to automatically either keep the pipeline or bring in the pipeline of talent went, okay, well, we got to get more serious about figuring out how all the pieces work. And so to that extent, it doesn't bother me that it's the hot topic. I think it is the hot topic. And I brought this up with the minimum wage conversation. I did an hour on minimum wage last week, which seemed to be received really well.
Right.
And I said, look, I said a living wage is, I think, bare minimum $19 an hour. Now, I wasn't saying that that's what the minimum wage should be. I'm just saying a minimum wage at 12 to 15 doesn't get close to nipping at the heels of a very bottom level middle class existence.
Right.
And so instead of, I think, raising the minimum wage is my point, I think the bigger picture is workforce development. How do we make sure that there's a pipeline where a person cannot just have an entry level job in Tucson, but have the skills and training to turn that job into a long-term career? And so if a community doesn't have a place where you can go from entry to mid to senior, education or position wise, that's what I want to be focused on. And so all this came out around the recession. Now, I'm not a representative of the chamber as an organization or SALC. I co-chair the Talent and Retention Task Force with two other people for the chamber. So I'm not in their offices, in their heads all the time. I will say this. What I've heard is not just, well, this only matters for college and on. There is a kind of bubbling around there, P20, which we talked about, right, that preschool through post-grad. Do we have that continuum of education and skill training in Tucson? I don't have all the answers of what the advocacy looks like for that. But I don't disagree with you that there should be advocacy around what do we do to reshape TUST. I hear it. You know, I hear it out there.
I feel like workforce development is a nice term that everyone can agree to talk about, and it doesn't bring up anything politically bad or otherwise. I kind of feel like this is something you can talk about no matter who the politician is, and everything sounds great, right? If you can, because as you know, I don't know if you who brought this up. Economic gardening. Who was that?
It was Tony Ford and I. I got to give Tony credit.
Absolutely. But economic gardening, about the basics that we talk about on this show for the last so many years, has to be part of the conversation, right? The economic, yep. But that's the problem, is the economic gardening, part of that is what's going on in the K-12 world.
Yep.
All right. And we don't, the business community doesn't like having that hard conversation with the electeds. And that's one of our biggest roadblocks to success as a community, is we don't want to have that hard public conversation. Because I've had some people in the business leadership world say, well, I've told this person, I said, yeah, in a cup of coffee, you might have told them this. Where are you as a leader saying, where is the SALC or the chamber, like with a white paper that says, hey, this is, if we want to be a success, this community needs to do this. Or the TUSD and the public schools need to be here on their outcomes. And then here's some suggestions on how to get here. But we don't even put that flag out on the mountain either. And that part is, I think that's always going to keep us stagnant.
And I mean, if Ted or Amber are listening, I would love to see if any of those things are in the works, because I don't know if they are or not. Well, I don't want to say
Ted
anything.
Ted will be on soon, and so him and I will talk. Amber won't come on the show.
But so. I think Ted is, I'm impressed with Ted is doing at SALC. I think the ground is shifting in the direction that you're talking about.
I like Ted a lot. And like I said, he's got a tough membership to kind of move. There's a herding cats. It's like turning the big, it's herding cats and turning the big tanker ship all in one movement, and I think he's doing much better than previous leadership there, so we'll see how it goes. So, all right, Ed, CBS Bloomberg coming up next. We have Zach Yenser, Tipping Point, Christy Simone, Wake Up Tucson. Hanging out with Zach, of course, Tipping Point in about 30 minutes, and then we have, of course, he's the executive director of, not PYT, the Michael Jackson song, TYP. Tucson Young Professionals.
Yes. We swim in this water a lot, because our mission is to attract and retain young professionals 21 to 45 in the region.
So if you were, let's say you went to a TYP conference or something in another city, right? Mm-hmm. Like a Denver or something like that. And you, the opening night cocktail party, you got your double rum and coke, and you're walking around, and you run into some young professionals, and they go, Tucson, attract me. What's the attraction right now to a young person in reality of coming to Tucson, Arizona from another market?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? Because there's so many other, we know Phoenix is doing a heck of a job, and that's just, I don't think they're doing anything.
No.
Like too overtly.
No.
But
no.
They have, things called opportunity, high wages.
Yeah. Could we do 2 minutes on that at some point in this hour?
Sure.
Because I have a theory on what we got to do to change our boat a little bit. It's not something that Phoenix has to do.
All right. We'll answer the question to these young professionals, and then we'll jump into that.
Totally. I think there's a couple of things that benefit someone coming to Tucson. Right now, Tucson, I think, is most beneficial to you if you're a self-starter. In other words, I think it's hard to be XYZ engineer, XYZ, role and come to Tucson and think you're going to get a job in 2 weeks. It's not going to happen. I think Tucson is a place where if you are wanting to work in the kind of social sector, if you want to be working As an entrepreneur, as a business owner on the entrepreneurship side, I think the ground is fertile to jump on in. The funding's a little easier. The barrier to entry is a little bit easier. But Tucson is not yet a plug-and-play community, I think, for a young professional.
So I agree with you on the social stuff, just because we have so many nonprofits.
Because the line has been that the cost of living is good. I don't even think that's true anymore, unless you're getting paid by an outside of Tucson-based employer. But that's another show.
Well, they say that, you're right, because they say, like I always say, whenever I go on a trip to California, Orange County, right, Huntington Beach kind of area, it's always cheaper for me and the family to eat out in Huntington Beach than it is in Tucson. You know, it sounds counterintuitive, but Tucson for the same hamburger is at least $2 more.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
There's something, we've had this discussion on the air with some of our chefs. They talk about some of it is that, you know, now most of the food distribution places are coming out of Phoenix, so it's that extra.
Okay.
You know, there's less competition. There's that kind of thing. So let's get to this. Okay, so if you're a self-starter, right? So that micro business startup kind of thing, good, right? Because there does seem to be a spirit of people wanting to support you and help you, such as the Tony Fords of the world, right? We talked about the social nonprofit world. We're the kings of that, feels like, in Arizona. And then you said, what was the third one you said?
I think some of the STEM stuff, science, tech, engineering, math. I think we're sort of known for that in the region, but I don't...
Are there that many widespread job opportunities for these folks? I would feel like no.
My sense is not.
Right.
My sense is not. And I think that could change.
Right.
But I just... the story is, and I'm always sensitive to how this is changing, and when it changes, I won't say it anymore. But the story is, if I left today and I packed up my family and we packed a suitcase and got on the plane and landed in Denver today, I'd have a job next week. And right. I just don't think the tide has turned yet. There's good things happening. I'm not negative.
Right.
I just don't think the tide has turned yet where you could say that's true of Tucson.
So
young people I talk to go, I'm capped out here. So this is what I'm talking about, workforce development.
I've heard that a lot,
Chris,
too.
Is, look, I'm in my early 30s or late 20s. I've had a decent entry-level job, but I'm capped out. They'll say this to me. I work at the U of A. I like my job, but there's no opportunity for me to grow in terms of mid-level to senior level. I'm capped out.
Right.
I'm capped out in the community because where am I going to get paid more than I am at the U of A, outside of the U of A? And so young professionals I talk to still feel trapped in Tucson.
Right.
Good things are happening, but I got to be honest, my peers still feel trapped. In other words, I'm going to have to go somewhere else to either move up in my career or get paid more. And so when I say workforce development, I'm saying, look, if there's a company that would pay them money for their skills, there's a disconnect right now. That potential employee and that employer don't know each other. So how do we fix that problem? The other workforce development is, how do we help that person maybe get trained up in a different skill that they need? Is there that opportunity? Or,
but of course,
in Tucson,
where would they work even if they found this other skill?
Right. Or in Tucson, are we creating that step, that there is a pipeline from entry to mid to senior with the associated pay?
Now, you said barrier to entry was lower here, possibly. What kind of business are you talking about that you think barrier of entry is lower?
So I'm thinking more on the entrepreneurship and tech side.
Okay. Not talking anyone opening a brick and mortar in this town, because I would not say that's the barrier is lower.
Correct. I'm saying if you have a good idea in Tucson, there's a lot of mentorship around. There's a lot of high-level people. I think of if you're going to try to do that in Atlanta or Chicago or Boston or New York, I mean, you'd have to wait months to years to have what you have here in weeks.
No, it's true.
So I try to sell that because it's a selling point for Tucson. We just don't talk about it enough.
Well, and again, it's like, how is that word getting out to the average folk out there, right? I always like to say this too. For restaurants or that's kind of, we'll have this discussion. I'll say, what are you known for? Like, what as a restaurant, what are you known for? Like, you make badass meatballs, great pad thai. What are you known for? Right. I guess my thing for Tucson, for the working person out there, the employee or the entrepreneur, is I don't feel like we have that out there. That message is, what are we known for? Why would you come to Tucson? Is that would you think that's a misconception on my part?
That's the drum I beat.
Right.
And was one of the things I was hoping we would get to talk about. Because I think there's a simple strategy we haven't employed yet in Tucson that we could, that I think would create a tipping point.
Now,
no pun intended.
Now, is this the thing that you said earlier that you would take 2 minutes that you wanted to cover? Is this where we're at?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go for it.
Do you want me to get into it?
Yes, please.
So I talked last week on the show about how White Claw, the hard seltzer, chose Phoenix.
$250 million investment in the West Valley.
And it'll be up by June. So I read that part of the article. I'm like, what kind of world is that? You know, where they agree, gets in the paper, and in 4 months, it's this world-class manufacturing site is built.
And 250 employees.
And 250 employees. And what, how many months ago Scottsdale got Google or whatever? So I look at Phoenix, and Phoenix doesn't really, they've got a lot of things they've already done, but it's not like they have to like go out and like reach after these people, right? They'll get White Claw, they'll get Google and everything in between. I think Tucson has to brand intentionally who it is. So here's my pitch. Here's what I'd love to see. For 5 years, businesses, public sector, Visit Tucson, citizens, say one thing for 5 years. We are the health tech hub of the Southwest. Or we're the space tech hub of the Southwest. Basically say this is who we are. And everyone sings off the same sheet of music for 5 years. Now, we can come back to other things after 5 years, but just say this is who we are. We develop infrastructure around it. We connect our university and our downtown, our hubs around it. We focus our money on it. We focus our mentorship around it. We focus our branding around it. Tucson is a mid-tier city. It doesn't have the luxury Phoenix has of being for the White Claw to Google spectrum.
Right.
We have to say this is who we are. This is who we're intentionally attracting. This is who we are intentionally developing. This is who we're economic gardening. And just say for the next 5 years, everyone says that everywhere we go. And I think once we start to develop that brand, then the kids in Denver will go, wow, there's something happening down in Tucson.
No, I agree with that, because one of the things we've said on the show for years, as a guy who sat in on the meetings to rebrand Tucson through Visit Tucson, and they came up with Free Yourself, which I'm okay with. It wasn't, but I understood how we got there. But what happened was it was done in their little world, and all the other groups in Tucson were not part of that. And so Visit Tucson did a horrible job of not getting everyone involved in it. And then it just kind of died on the vine. So then Brent's doing his tourism improvement development plan or master plan, right? Which was supposed to bring in chambers and trios and SALCs and arts groups, and everyone was supposed to come in for whatever this is. And I haven't heard anything from that, but you're totally right. We have no brand as a community.
Some of what you're asking about is happening, because I've been a part of those rooms, kind of under the radar a little bit.
Right.
Where that master plan has been connected with TYP, with chambers, with things like that.
Right.
But it's definitely a work in progress.
But that's, we are a brandless community.
I think it's our biggest challenge.
So remember when Mike Varney at some meeting said, maybe we need to look past the word Old Pueblo, the words Old Pueblo, and figure out what that next thing was, and the town went insane on him. He was absolutely right. It's nice that you want to say the Old Pueblo, but the idea that that's our identity, that's not serving anybody. It's not even serving the people who want to save the words Old Pueblo. There has to be something of what we are for the 21st century, and we're not there yet.
I mean, I just think back to the 50s when a logo of Tucson, Arizona was this guy with a dog in the fields, right? You had cotton, copper, cattle.
Right.
And at the same time, you had the Chambers of Commerce back then saying we're zoned for science. And I just think it's always been interesting. We've had that kind of schizophrenia of who are we? What does our next look like? How does that tie into our future? I mean, we've been having this conversation for, I think, centuries in Tucson. And I would love to be a part of a focused 5-year piece of that.
No, I agree with that.
Land on something.
So, Ed, you've been here since Father Kino. What was the what was the last time we had a brand that you remember? Was it that Sunshine?
Sunshine
Mile? You know, that's a mile, but the Sunshine group there.
A smiley cartoon sun.
Right.
You know, come to Tucson, the Sunshine City, or something like that. That's all we were.
Right.
We were selling sunshine.
But that was at least something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to ruffle any feathers with this, but like a lot of this branding has been really gimmicky in the past.
Right.
We've canned sunshine.
Right.
We've put up smoke signals on A Mountain when the Indians came in for spring break, for spring practice. We've done some really weird, gimmicky stuff in the last half century. We're better than that. I mean, we've got some great stuff going on. We just don't talk about it.
So visit Tucson before Brent got there. The previous guys, and just, you know, on a cocktail napkin, came up with, quote, we're real natural Arizona. Right? And then there was the real Southwest. That's what their big thing was. The real Southwest. Okay. Well, what happened was when we were going through this rebranding, MMGY, which is a branding company, hospitality tourism branding company out of Missouri, was hired, and they did thousands of interviews of two key feeder markets for Tucson, Denver and Chicago. And what happened was they gave these people five cities in the Southwest and say, rank them as who do you think's closest to this phrase called the real Southwest, which was our thing that supposedly we came up with. We came in fourth out of five. Right? Santa Fe, number one. San Antonio, number two. Scottsdale, number three.
Wow.
Then us, and then Palm Springs.
Shoot.
And so you do have to do that all-inclusive distillation of what makes Tucson great and what do you want to, how does that sell out to the planet?
10 seconds, Chris.
Please.
We are a health tech hub of the Southwest.
Correct.
This is not visioning. This is branding. We've got some amazing innovation. It's so many of our pieces have never been better in Tucson in the last 20 years. Our university, I think, is more on point.
Right.
Our tech is more on point. Our community is more driven. The pieces are here. All I'm saying is we're not starting at zero. I'm saying let's brand the stuff that we're at 80 on.
Let's tell the planet that this is what we do.
So I'm optimistic because we have the pieces. I just want to say let's brand. And I think the attraction and retention of talent follows that.
You have a aerial shot of Saguaro National Park West, and you're coming in across the freeway to boom. All of a sudden, there's Fontana and all this stuff, you know, and you're inside a microscope. And then you're off, you know, you're in the University of Arizona in the labs and stuff like that. I mean, we've got a place that people want to come to and live because it's beautiful and the weather is great. And then you say, look, this is what we are doing here. You need to be a part of it. And people go, yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Let's go to break, 8:49 in the morning. Tony, hold on. We'll get to you. 8:53 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Remember, we are doing the best election coverage of anyone in the Old Pueblo.
Look out.
Go to KVY.com.
You
go
mean
to
the health tech hub of the Southwest.
The health tech hub of the Southwest.
You got to help us out, Chris.
We got to come up with a tagline for that, too. That's going to be our project together, is how do we come up for the health tech hub, you know, whatever. There's a cute tagline that's out there.
Okay.
You know, not let us take your pulse, America, but something like that. Or turn your head and cough, America. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Tony on line two. Tony, you're on with Chris and Zach. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I've been a native for 46 years here in Tucson. And it's not a marketing thing. It's a historical thing where Tucson was just a go-between from someplace to someplace else. But your guess is right in the sense that we are poised for the 21st century with artificial intelligence, robotics. We just got to keep trying to bring the different segments that have historically kind of been at odds with each other because we're all fighting for scraps down here. So if someone can unite us and give us a vision, and just because one group is doing well doesn't mean, you know, we have to come together. And how do we do that? We do that if the casinos are doing well, the hotels are doing well, downtown's doing well. It's not one segment does better and everyone else loses out. So if we're in this together for the 21st century, I think we're going to be in a very good, strong position for the future.
Tony, thanks for the
Nailed
call, man.
It.
I appreciate it. Which part did Tony nail?
Nail all of it. So the fact that we're a 21st century city, yes. The fact that we are too siloed, yes. The fact that we need a unifying vision, yes. And this is genuine, by the way. This is not just, you know, hyping up people or places, but this is why I'm encouraged by what I see Amber and Ted doing SALC and the Tucson Metro Chamber. They get all three of those things. And I think what you see over the long haul is them operating with that picture, which is why I'm encouraged. Getting back to our last segment, the pieces are there. It just has to all come together.
So who is going to be that leader? So Tony makes a good point. who's that leader that actually going, that has the respect of the groups, that can actually bring everyone together and have a little bit of a heart? We know Tucson doesn't have the stamina for the real hard conversation, but who can bring us together and have that conversation? Is there anyone out there? It's going to have to be someone with a D behind their name that's probably an elected or a former elected official. Who would that be? In relation to his question?
Right.
Who is that person? I don't know who that is yet. Now, Rahina is in the opportunity to go do that right now. Freshly elected, and I would pray that she could do that, but I don't know if the people that she works for would let her do that. But I don't know who that leader is. Do you see someone in that world?
I mean, one or two, like, big names. It's not standing out to me at the moment. But this is why, and I'm really not pitching my show, Chris. This is just conversation. I rebranded it to Tipping Point.
Oh, we do shameless promotion. This is one of the rules of Wake Up Tucson. Shameless. We do shameless promotion.
Shameless
all the time.
Promotion. And this is why I rebranded. Because this is what is to Tipping Point, right? We're at that point where we've got all the pieces. We either get that unifying vision to figure out how to be that 21st century city, or we don't. That's the choice.
Right.
That's where we're at. And I have concerns that we're not going to take, you know, we've got a freshman in high school right now in a city that could either go to Harvard or not.
Or
we've got
or that work, potential. Or work at you know a call saying? Center for the next 12 years.
So that's my, I have a story if you can fit it in.
We got a minute, so go for it.
Just a minute?
That's it.
I promised you just a minute.
I know you did.
So the one real quick story is that we talked to a U of A undergraduate the other day who had come into the U of A from Phoenix, had been on campus for 3 years, never experienced the community, never knew what was out there. Her assumption would be that she would always go back to Phoenix. An extra credit class pushed her out into the community. She went to go visit Hexagon downtown. Mining tech company in Tucson. They're growing like crazy. Tucson company, globally traded. Nobody knows about them, but they're kicking butt. She went toward their location downtown and went, oh my goodness, this is a young, fresh, talented company. I could stay in Tucson. There might actually be stuff for me to do here. And so I just wanted to kind of leave on that note is, on the one hand, we're not where we want to be yet, but if we can connect our talent to our community, and no one's doing that really well yet, we actually have a shot at what we're talking about. And that's what I'm trying to be a part of doing. That's workforce development in a story.
I just love that your glimmer of hope story to end the show is at a company that's in a business that the powers that be in Tucson hate, which is mining.
Right.
That's what I always love when you see that they're saying, Raytheon, Hexagon, Caterpillar, well, war and mining are two things that the powers that be hate in this town. But again, I'm glad this young lady had a little bit of a good moment with the Hexagon kids.
Yep.
So, Tipping Point.
Yes, sir.
It's just not a show anymore.
You know what we're accidentally talking about on Tipping Point?
What's that, sir?
Workforce development. Kid you not.
Look at that.
Another hour. Hang out with us.
Very cool. I saw you got Ricardo on the show.
Yes, and Lydia Aranda and the mayor from Douglas.
I love Ricardo. Can't believe they tossed him.
I know. I'm with you,
he's
Ricardo.
He's the former counsel for Tucson.
If you're listening, you are the man. You're amazing. Can't wait to talk to you.
Zach, thanks for a nice hour. We'll do it again
soon. You too, Chris. Appreciate it.